Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, November 22nd, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Rachel Pitts. Rachel and her husband Charlie have been members of Mountain Brook Baptist since around 2023, a couple of years now. They have a daughter named Sarah Jane, and I have really enjoyed getting to know Rachel in a growth group that we share together. Rachel will read God's word for us, and then after that, she and I will have a time to sit down to talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Rachel, for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. We are going to be reading Matthew 6, and I will be reading from the English Standard Version. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Where did you grow up and how did you make your way to Birmingham?
I am originally from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I came to Birmingham for undergrad. I went to Samford University, stayed there for graduate school, and then basically have been here ever since. There's a one-year exception where my husband and I moved to Charlotte for him to finish medical training. Other than that, I've been in Birmingham ever since.
Good segue to Charlie. Tell me a little bit about how you met Charlie.
Yes. So Charlie and I met while he was in residency, and I was practicing law here in Birmingham.
And of course, I would like to hear a little bit about your daughter as well.
Yes, we have an 18-month-old. Her name is Sarah Jane. She is amazing. She is, you know, walking and running. She has just learned to associate Santa with ho, ho, ho. And so she'll give a big ho, 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 which is really giving us a kick right now. She loves my dog. She loves to pat aggressively.
And is the dog kind with her?
Yes, the dog is so good. Our dog's name is Baker, and she's wonderful with her. She's very patient.
Also, Charlie has a very interesting profession. Tell us about his work.
Yes, so he is a foot and ankle surgeon with Andrews Sports Medicine. This time of year, it's a little crazy because they help with the sidelines of football games. So he is one of the team physicians for Auburn football.
And lots of ankle surgeries right now.
Lots of foot and ankle surgeries. We talk about feet a lot in our household.
What are some things that you enjoy doing for fun? Do you have any interesting or unique hobbies?
This is such an interesting question for me to think about right now, because if you had asked me a few years ago, I would have listed so many things. And now I'd spend so much of my time taking care of my daughter. Let's see. I play the guitar and have always enjoyed writing. So I write poetry and lyrics and songs, things like that, but have not done it in a long time.
Wow. If I had known that in advance, I would have made you bring your guitar.
So glad that you didn't, because it's been a while. But yeah, so that's interesting. My sister, Sarah, she has an amazing voice. And so we've kind of always used those gifts together. I would write songs and she would be the main vocals on it.
So. Do you have any of that recorded that I might get my hands on?
No, we do not. Thank goodness.
As we think about the holidays coming up, I'm wondering what you're looking forward to with Thanksgiving coming around.
So I have a lot of family here in Birmingham. My mom is one of five children, and usually we're together with a large percentage of that family. So Thanksgiving is always a really fun holiday for us, just because I get to be with all my cousins and people bring different dishes and things like that that are their favorite.
Rachel, I really enjoy being in a growth group with you, but I'm not sure that I know your story of faith, how you came to faith in Christ. Would you share that with us?
So I grew up in a Christian home. Going to church was a normal occurrence, but I would say my individual faith occurred thanks to a Christian camp in Chattanooga, Tennessee called Camp Vesper Point. I went there as a young camper and then ended up working there several summers, and that is definitely where the Lord independently entered my heart, I would say, when I was about 9 years old.
What is the camp like?
It is kind of your classic summer camp. You know, you've got a blob, you've got cabins, all that good stuff. At the time when I was younger, they did 1 and 2 week sessions, and I would often go to the 2 week sessions. Being a camper was great, but then working there, I would go all summer and it was amazing.
What was your job as a counselor?
So my first summer there, I actually worked in the kitchen. So I was cleaning dishes and things like that, which was very character building, I think. And then being a counselor, I feel like was right up my alley. Like, it was something I was really excited to do. I loved getting to pour into kids the way that I had been poured into and talking about the Lord with them.
Once you came to Birmingham, how did you find Christian community?
So it was pretty easy at Samford, because Samford is a Christian university. And so it was very common to talk about your faith there. And I went to several different churches while I was in undergrad. And then in law school, so I also went to law school at Samford's law school. I would say really found my first intentional church community with Christ Fellowship Church, which is on Green Springs. It was a plant of Brook Hills. And that was really important for me. That was probably the first time that I was so invested in a community of believers outside of summer camp and learned the importance of that and what it's like to just walk through life with each other and support the highs and lows. And so I'm very thankful for that time in my life.
And then when you and Charlie got married, I know you started visiting churches nearer to your home. How did you find Mountain Brook Baptist?
So I think I mentioned we moved to Charlotte for a year for him to finish training. And then when we came back, we bought a house in Crestline and started thinking, where do we want to go to church and have that foundation? And we knew it was so important to us and to the future family we hope to have one day. And it was really important to Charlie, actually, that it be near where we lived. He thought that was important so that we could dive into community with people that we would see often and things like that. And so Mountain Brook Baptist was, it just quickly made the list because it's so close to where we live. And we started visiting and loved it. And Sharon was quick to jump on us our first week here and get us involved with things like Sunday schools. And it was a pretty quick and easy decision for us.
Which class are you a part of on Sunday mornings?
The Grace Group with the Harkins.
And as I've mentioned, you're also a part of a growth group. I'd like to hear your thoughts about Sunday school and discipleship groups and how they help you.
Oh, man. I think they're so important for so many reasons. It's one thing to just find a church body to be involved with, and it's another thing to really walk through life with members of the community. I have particularly found so much fulfillment in our downtown growth group because we all are in similar seasons of life where we're just very busy, and most of us are moms, and a lot of us are working. And I love that in that group, we all kind of lead each other. There's not necessarily a leader of the group, and people have to step up and lead the group when they can. And then we support and pray for each other through all seasons of life. And that's looked a lot of different ways for different people in the group.
Has there been a season where your faith was tested, and how did you persevere in that season, or what did God teach you?
The number one example that comes to my mind is when Charlie and I had just started dating, but we weren't engaged yet. My little sister, the one I was just talking about, who has a great singing voice, was diagnosed with cancer, and she, praise the Lord, now is cancer-free and is doing great. But that was really hard for me because she is my younger sister, and anyone with a younger sibling knows you feel a sense of protection and you want to protect that person and take care of them. And my family moved with her to Houston, Texas, so that she could be treated at MD Anderson. And I was here by myself, essentially. And it was also COVID. That was 2020. So it was just a really difficult time with my faith because it was about the worst thing I could imagine happening. And the Lord allowed it to happen. And just like everyone who's been through suffering knows, it's really hard to accept, no matter how strong your faith is, that God would let something like that happen. And I think for me, it was harder than if it had happened to me. It was to this person that I viewed as just like the closest to a perfect person, like just this person who's so important to me and that I should protect. And he allowed that to happen to her. And it was such a big test of my faith because there was a lot of praying and a lot of being, I don't want to say being angry with God, but wrestling with him for sure. How could you let this happen? What good could you possibly bring from this? And, you know, like I said, she is now cancer free and he healed her. And we know that through the help of amazing doctors and medical providers. But my faith, in a weird way, is still recovering from that. And I know it sounds bad to say that, but I think if I'm being realistic, the Lord and I are good. And I am 100% sure of my faith, and that never really wavered. But I think that I won't see full fruits of that probably for a while, because I'm just still recovering from understanding how God can let hard things happen.
Such a tender and difficult subject. And I thank you for being honest and open about that. Did you see the community of faith coming around you in that season, or were there scripture passages that God brought to your mind?
Definitely. So at the time, I was still a member of Christ Fellowship Church, and that church really rallied around me in a beautiful way. And through that situation, while my faith was being tested, he also brought me Charlie during that, which is just such a amazing gift. You know, if you're a young woman and you're dating, you're just looking for that person. And there had been many years that I was like, where is my husband? Like, why couldn't I meet him now? And so it's so loving to me looking back now that God waited to bring me my husband in that season where I was going to be so alone. And we were able to walk that together and grow in faith together and do our marital counseling, like premarital counseling, through that season.
You mentioned music earlier, so I'm wondering about your playlist, maybe a song that's on repeat and why it is meaningful to you.
I love Sandra McCracken, and there is a song by her called Sweet Comfort that for some reason just strikes a chord with me, and it has from the first time I heard it and then still does. And it talks about, like, it opens, one of the main lines in it is, whatever my God ordains is right, his holy will abide. And throughout the song, it's just talking basically about accepting what God gives you, even if it's hard, and then still being able to find sweet comfort in him.
I think that's a beautiful place for us to end together, thinking about attributes of God that bring us sweet comfort. Call out for us a few of those attributes that comfort your heart, remind you of the goodness of God.
I think the most comforting attributes of God that come to my mind are that he is omniscient. So he knows everything, even when I don't. I heard it said one time, he's got the whole thing rigged. So he's got it all figured out, so I don't have to. I think another one would be that he's unchanging. So even though I change and we all change and I can get swayed by emotions or what's going on in the world, he isn't. And then just that he's faithful, probably. That I may need to keep running back to him because of my sin or whatever reason, but he's always going to be there for me to run back to because he doesn't go anywhere.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rachel, for sharing on the podcast. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Father, thank you so much for Mountain Brook Baptist Church. Thank you for the community here and just the ability to gather in your name and read your word together. I pray that you'll be with all of us as we go throughout the rest of our day, and you will help us to glorify you in what we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you.
He hold me, I shall not fall.